financially unsafe times.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every night we go inside the Beltway. So fun to find out what the buzz is and how the waters kind of ripple and flow through the rest of the country. There's always an effect, my friends, as to what our elected officials are doing. It affects us in our own lives each and every day. Joining us this time around, Justin Deckham from Talk Radio News. Justin, first of all, welcome. You and I have never spoken before, so we're glad you're popping on ATN.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about NATO and the no-fly zone. What was the deal there? Are they really taking this thing over? Is that the deal?
Oh, that is the deal. NATO will be officially taking it over as opposed to a French-British partnership that was floated earlier on. They will be taking over the no-fly zone mission. However, if they will be taking on the second aspect of the mission, which is protecting the Libyan rebels from Gaddafi's forces, that remains to be seen, and that is something that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has addressed today. This is a pretty big effort. The administration has been pretty adamant about wanting to move forward with the command authority and hand that off to international forces. And after days of deliberation, it finally looks like this could be happening. However, in order to see the scope of this or to see how it's going to play out, we still need to wait a few more days for the full operational details.
Yeah, there you go. Moving along on the same Libya deal, Kucinich says that he's going to go after the funding for Libya. What's the buzz on that in D.C.? Are a lot of people talking about that? Because they play on the same team, so this is pretty wild.
Yeah, so Obama's being hit on both the left and the right over the Libya mission, particularly his decision to move forward without adequately consulting Congress, as Kucinich claims. Their legislative strategy for this is to add an amendment onto the next spending bill that comes to the floor in about 2 weeks or so that will defund any U.S. efforts in Libya. It's sort of similar to what's been put forward by Republicans recently for, you know, Planned Parenthood or NPR or whatnot, as well as, you know, historically, if you look at the Bolin Amendment, which restricted Ronald Reagan from funding the rebels in Nicaragua. So this is a pretty interesting legislative tactic that Kucinich is going to be taking.
Yeah.
Whether or not it's going to take hold remains to be seen.
Well, no kidding. And we've been talking about that a lot on America Tonight. It's interesting. Like I said, they're both playing on the same team, so it just shows you that the Libyan conflict didn't sit well with people on the far left or people on the right either. Michelle Bachmann, speaking of the far right, apparently might want to run for president. What's the deal there?
Yes, it's coming out today through a variety of media sources that Michelle Bachmann is likely going to be setting up an exploratory committee for a White House run sometime within the next 3 months. And, of course, you know, an exploratory committee is Washington speak for a surefire presidential run. So that's that is pretty much guaranteeing that this is going to be a very interesting 2012 race. We have a lot of people who are coming to stir the pot. Rand Paul may make a surprise White House run, as may Jim DeMint. Sarah Palin could still enter it, but right now, just the presence of Michelle Bachmann is it means it's going to be an interesting year.
Yeah, enough to get tongues wagging anyway. Justin Deckham, Talk Radio News, thanks for popping on ATN. You take care. All right, taking this a little bit further when we're talking about Libya, the Obama administration continues to play on the defense. They're on their heels again. Jay Carney, he's the bait. He's the new White House flack or spokesperson who's trotted out every day in front of the reporters to push forward whatever the agenda is. And Carney is saying that the military action in Libya is, hey, it's going to be limited in time, and certainly what goes on in scope, it will be limited. So the handoff is supposedly NATO. The president is saying that the ultimate objective is Muammar Gaddafi's removal from power. That hasn't happened at this point. And they're talking about the fact that he'll have to be removed quickly by forces that are loyal to him. They'll have to switch sides. But there is no mention of the word coup, because that's what it is. It would be a coup. So Jay Carney listed a series of meetings, hearings, briefings by all the top brass, including the president, with members of Congress on the Libyan situation. The list was actually put together because John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and many others in Congress were saying, look, the White House did not consult with us before deciding to lob Tomahawk missiles at Muammar Gaddafi's troops, spending all that money, and not to mention the action itself. So Boehner, in his letter midweek, complained that the military resources were committed to war without defining for any of us, the American people and Congress, what the mission is and what is the role. So Carney says it's the reason, and what we're doing is to try to answer these questions, is that maybe we're being driven by politics here. That it is pretty clear what we're doing. We're saying that there is a classified intelligence briefing and that the speaker got that briefing, so he should know what's happening. And so did some other members in Congress, and it was pure politics that now is being played out over the Libyan situation. So, you know, come see, come saw. It is not crystal clear. It is not. Definitely not. In fact, you could look at the 1973 War Powers Act and decide for yourself, and some of the other constitutional restrictions on authorizing military action, and you can decide for yourself if it's clear what the president did. Does it constitute stretching the boundaries beyond the boundaries of the Constitution? So, you know, here's the thing. The administration is not going to be brought down on these crazy darts that keep getting thrown out about impeachment. We're so close to 2012. The key thing is what kind of a race are we going to see in 2012? Michelle Bachmann decides she's got an exploratory committee, as you just heard. So that pretty much says she wants to run for president. She's going to figure out whatever the angle is. And, you know, Bachmann, Sarah Palin. Between these two women, if both of them are in for the Republicans, who do you think has a better chance to pull it out? Or do you think neither of them could go up against Obama and have a prayer of beating him? I think it's an interesting question to look at. Would a vote, like if Sarah Palin were to ultimately get the Republican nod, which I don't think she would, but let's say she did, could she really beat Barack Obama and Michelle Bachmann? I don't think Michelle Bachmann gets it. I mean, she can run for president. I'd be more curious what kind of total she gets. She has some supporters, absolutely, but enough to push her over the top. The Republicans have a problem because they have a fractured party with the Tea Partiers and the evangelical side of the Republican Party, and then those that are fractured, some that are a little softer, with a more of a Democratic touch, let's say. So they got a serious problem when it comes to 2012, because you got to shore up that base, right? Coming up next, we're going to talk about Japan and the latest there.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy. From AffinityCEnergy.com, sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. IG.com. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
Toll continues to climb in the Japan disaster, the triple whammy, the earthquake, as you know, and the tsunami, and now what's happening at the nuclear power plant in Fukushima, I'll tell you, scares me to the very core, pardon the pun. As for the death toll, over 10,000 at this point, and of course, more than 17,000 people are missing. It couldn't be a sadder situation. And, you know, in some of these areas, even in trying to bury people that they found, just mass graves, I'll tell you, the response, you cannot respond enough to help the people, I think, in Fukushima and these two other surrounding areas that were just slammed. And you wonder how much of the information that comes out, especially when it has to do with this power plant, is the real deal. Because we get mixed messages, and even in the research I've done and the conversations I've had, I hear two different things constantly, whether it's radiation levels, whether we're talking about food and what's going on with the food and the water and the distance and all that other sort of stuff. It scares me to death for those poor people and anybody in the surrounding areas. Aileen Miyoko-Smith is the executive director of Green Action. It's a Japanese environmental group. She just happened to be in the Bay Area, and she has been talking about this since the beginning of the crisis, that the government there is not really sharing that critical information with the public, and that's scary stuff. Aileen, a pleasure to have you here on ATN. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, what's the misinformation? What is it that is it? Is it having to do with radiation, having to do with even death tolls and what's happened in the wake of the tsunami? What's some of the misinformation?
Well, the death tolls are from the tsunami and earthquake. What we're facing now with a nuclear power plant is completely a man-made situation. And I say that because that plant should have never been located in that site in the first place. Those are boardroom decisions and government bureau department decisions that put that plant there. And so all the radiation problems we have is because those decisions were made. Right now, what the Japanese government is being truthful about is that there's a lot of data and there's a lot of these Becquerel figures and Sievert figures all flying around, but the government needs to tell the people that the significance of this. In other words, if you are in an area which has that contamination, then there is concern of long-term effects unless you leave the area, and that's not been happening. The key thing is the Japanese government has not evacuated people beyond a 12-mile radius. As we speak now, they haven't done that yet. And today, Diet members, 23 Diet members, and that includes 11 from the ruling party, this is the Japanese parliament, has stated that evacuation should be drastically increased in a much larger radius. And pregnant women and preschool children should be leaving that area that where people are still told to just stay indoors. And that's what they're not being truthful about. Actually, you know, abroad we're getting much more better information. For example, several days ago, the French government, very clearly the nuclear authorities, said that the releases to date at that time was about 10% of what was released at Chernobyl. And then yesterday, the Austrian government, the meteorological agency, said that the releases to date for a couple of those nuclides, those are radioactive materials, is 20% to 50% of what was released at Chernobyl. So we're talking about really large amounts, and we're finding that deposited in the soil, which then, of course, means there's uptake into vegetables and, you know, other things in the water.
Yeah, I think there's, as you said, the most horrific thing is the initially telling the people in the 12-mile radius, where there were nuclear experts clearly saying right from the start, oh, at least 50 and beyond even would be better. So all the there were a lot of people that were so misled that are, as I said, you're scared to death for them, and they're probably scared to death as now they're being informed, and okay, geez, now we have to evacuate you, and we don't ultimately know what happens to all these individuals down the line should they contract cancer, et cetera, that kind of thing. So that has to be disconcerting, certainly to think of that, the long-term effects, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly. The U.S. government said all U.S. citizens within a 50-mile, that would be 80-kilometer distance, should evacuate. So that's 50 miles compared to the Japanese government saying evacuate 12 miles. So that's the problem we face right now, and that has to happen. You have to be proactive about evacuation, because if you wait till the last minute, then you're getting all these people outside trying to get away when you already have radiation clouds that are, you know, much worse. And so the government needs to be proactive. But the problem is there's been a long and hard fight against nuclear power in Japan. People actually internationally don't know that, but there's been a really hard fight for decades. And one of the things citizens were pointing out is that evacuation, you have to have an evacuation plan that's larger. But the government insisted all radiation stops absolutely at a six-mile point, no matter how bad the accident. So there was no plan in place for anything beyond 6 miles. And that's the reason this whole delay is happening right now.
Yeah, and so what do you make of that? The Japanese government just they don't want to have panic. They don't want people to panic, and they don't want to really truly have all that negative info, I'm sure, out there. Do you think that's part of it or not?
Yeah. Well, one is, you know, Japan is so highly populated, and even if it isn't, you know, any place, panic is not good. I think it's really good that the government is talking very calmly. That is very good. But what the government needs to do is not, quote, unquote, protect people from reality, because people will have to suffer the consequences of the reality that happens and unfolds. So you have to very clearly say, this is the situation. We know this much about what's going on at the plants inside. We don't know these things. It could, if it goes for the worst, these kind of things could happen. And you need to be telling people and informing them calmly all along the way so that people are prepared, rather than, you know, kind of protecting them, so to speak, and then they're, you know, whammed with reality, which is really unfair.
No kidding. We're speaking with Aileen Miyoko-Smith, Executive Director of Green Action, which is a Japanese environmental group. How many people, the numbers are loosely what you would know, how many people do you think were actually being impacted by all this because of the misinformation of the distance and whatnot?
Well, you know, we don't have, I mean, the deaths that have occurred are from the earthquake and tsunami.
Yeah.
And what we're concerned with radiation is that, if, you know, people are all is this general public, hundreds of thousands of people, are receiving, much higher radiation levels than they would normally. And we're just concerned about, this is that situation. And also because those plants, multiple plants at Fukushima, they're still quite unstable. And there's huge spent fuel pool, storage mm-hmm. pools there that have mm-hmm. massive amounts of radiation. And those, too, have been trouble. There's been trouble cooling them. And we just really don't know yet which way this whole thing is going to go in the next 12 hours, in the next 24, and next several days.
Yeah.
And so it's precarious right now. And yesterday, there was one unit, one that they were concerned the containment had gotten so much pressure inside they worried about, because if they didn't vent, then the containment might crack, which then is really bad. So they were going to vent, but if they vented, then there'd be really large amounts of radiation. They didn't have to yesterday, but that kind of thing could still happen.
Yeah, no kidding. Lastly, Aileen, the idea is obviously you're posting things. You're trying to get the word out and you're trying to keep the pressure out there so better information is released to the people, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just to put a perspective on this, I'm just watching right now the unfolding of all the boardroom decisions that happened the last several decades and all the government collusion with the large utilities. And I've seen it happen, and we couldn't stop it, and this is the result. It's a clear result of the lack of democracy. If you don't have democracy, if you don't get the correct information deliberated, that the powerful utilities can suppress information about seismic significance of the land, the concern about the earthquake faults around in nuclear power plants. If they can shut that information out from government deliberation, get the results they want, okay, power, you can get away with things, but guess what? Something really bad can happen, and this is it. And there are individuals that were responsible for this. It's people that made this happen.
Right, and I think they should be prosecuted, absolutely. Aileen, thank you so much for joining us on ATN. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aileen Miyoko-Smith, again, check out Green Action, as she said. Pretty powerful stuff there at the end. Look what happens when a power ultimately corrupts. They know they shouldn't be building the plant where it was built in Fukushima. They build it, and then this happens with the earthquake and the tsunami, and who knows who ultimately is affected by this radiation. Stay with us. We're kicking the can down the road on ATN.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Sore throat? Spray that with Dermatol. Diaper rash? Spray that with Dermatol.
Ouch!
Burn or cut? Spray that with Dermatol for shockingly fast relief. If you had room for only one first aid product in your preparedness kit, you need Dermatol because it works on almost every skin irritation or injury. All natural Dermatol brings amazing relief to burns, cuts, scrapes, bites, boils, shingles, rashes, elderly skin tears, even chronic diabetic ulcers and bed sores. Dermatol is an all-natural, antimicrobial, antiviral, and antifungal wound cleanser that speeds healing with no side effects, is safe for all ages and skin types, and is even safe enough to spray on sore throats or onto sore eyes. Read our many testimonials at Dermatol.com, spelled D-E-R-M-A-T-O-L.com. Order online at Dermatol.com or call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Effective, efficient, economical. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Tonight, on the heels of a couple of things, we have some follow-ups for you. We don't want to drop the ball on, okay, so what happened? We talked about the air traffic controller situation in Washington, D.C. Shocking, right? We threw the guy in the dungeon. I still am shaking my head over that. You have two big jets filled with people landing basically blind. Because if something was there they didn't see, they would be rolling the dice, taking the chance. And, of course, it's always that, ooh, how did this happen? We had one lone controller on duty in the airport tower at Reagan National Airport. So what the National Transportation Safety Board is saying is that the controller responsible admits that he was asleep. That's what happened. He fell asleep, and they've suspended him. He said he was just fatigued. He was working four consecutive night shifts, and he couldn't keep his eyes open. So I'm asking you, is it acceptable to have just one guy in the tower? It's not a toll road where you're going through and you have one toll booth open. Is it really in a place like Washington? Come on. I don't think anyone's going to say, sure, just one controller in the tower during any critical time. Yes, it had gone over the midnight hour, but still you had planes that were coming in. So you had that American Airlines flight that was on the final approach to the airport just after midnight. And they actually abandoned the descent when the tower didn't respond. Then you had United had a flight coming in from Chicago, that flight was coming in from the Midwest, they had the same problem 15 minutes later. So think of the distance in the planes and what, who knows what could have happened. The pilots, luckily, were able to come up with somebody regionally in Virginia, about 40 miles away from the Reagan airport. So both planes, we know this, did land safely, but they didn't have controlled airport procedures. Huh. That is a big no. That is a big fat boo. Oh, I mean, that's ridiculous. Unacceptable, unacceptable. So this is what you get. The FAA says, you know, we're looking into staffing issues and whether the procedures were followed appropriately. I mean, what are they going to say, right? One guy, one single guy there, and he fell asleep. So that's what happens. But falling asleep on the job in this situation could have been deadly. Can you imagine if we were talking about a couple of plane crashes in Washington and the reason why is because of fatigue, because there was only one guy there. So, yeah, absolutely. The blunder of the week. It has to be the blunder of the week. I got some news. I'm going to zip in here, too. Arizona upset Duke. If you have one of those brackets and you had Duke winning it all like I did, then guess what? You're out. I'm done. I'm toast. They beat them 93-77. Why do I ever go into these office pools? I have no idea. I have to stick with football, or I have to stick with one of the big four. Because what happens is, I mean, that's why I like hoops, actually, college hoops, because it's anybody's game. There is always the chance of the Cinderella team or a couple of decent seeds, and who knows what happens because it's one and done. You get knocked out and that's it. So the whole idea of the pool, that's probably the excitement for most people, but I don't like it. There's just no predictability in it. And speaking of no predictability, while we're re-racking here with a couple of things, just to mention this again, the U.S. has given the no-fly zone reins to NATO. Yeah, they've handed it over, so to speak. But what does that mean? Secretary of State Hillary Clinton described it as, okay, this is what we said. You know, here we've been saying this is what we were going to do at the end of the week. Pay attention. And this is a well-suited, coordinated international effort. So we're thanking the United Arab Emirates because they are following through, apparently, on a promise to provide planes to this effort to get Gaddafi out. And the White House tripped over itself to say how critical their participation was, how critical it was. I wonder how much money was spent on what we lobbed over there already in the 6-7 days. And the definite assurances that there would be no boots on the ground. At this point, you've got pro-Gaddafi troops that are striking Misrata, and they rolled back their tanks a little bit after a couple of airstrikes, but they're still there. And you've got 30 snipers, and this is the good news, that were actually picked off by the Libyan rebels. But it's kind of that stalemate situation, even with the airstrikes and even with a little bit of the rollback. They just got to bomb the crap out of Gaddafi and knock out every single one of his units. I mean, that's what they have to do. In concert, they have to be able to do that. The U.S. is probably going to still continue to fly combat missions over that country, even after the decision. The Pentagon is saying that. They've got missiles that they were set to take over, that they were set to drop, and I think they're, according to the Pentagon, they're still going to do it, even though they've passed the baton. They're handing over command and control of part of the operation. And that's what we kept hearing, how this was going to be handed off. Because, see, here's the thing. There's been massive debate that, you know, who's in charge. And clearly, it's unorganized, because the French immediately were saying, well, we're not in charge. And the Brits, certainly, that wasn't, they weren't taking the lead on it. And I guess the UAE at this point, with their warplanes and whatever, and or just squarely on the shoulders of NATO, they're going to have to do everything they can to make sure that it's coordinated, and who's doing what and who's contributing what is going to have to be on their shoulders, I guess, if the U.S., even with flying combat missions, takes a back seat. An unusual place, I think, for our military to be, because we're so used to being the lead guy. We're so used to being the person in charge, I think, on the ground or coordinating the entire effort. But that's good. Hey, if there's a handoff, that's where I think it needed to be in the first place. When the decision was made suddenly over the weekend, two weekends ago, okay, or last weekend, when the decision was made, okay, we're handing this off, then, and we're going to jump in here, but it's only going to be for a couple days, and then that needed to be clear, and it wasn't very clear. So maybe this kind of straightens out some of what we could not see. But I still am leery about that. I still think that you're going to see the U.S. involvement eventually ratchet up a little bit more. And the president is facing a hailstorm of criticism, still heading into the weekend, on how this was handled, not just from Congress, but from all sorts of people. You hear it here on America Tonight when many of you have called to complain. So the Prez really can't hold off Congress anymore, because they want to have their say on this Libyan conflict when they get back to Washington next week. There's probably going to be some sort of a hearing, to be sure. They're going to have a hearing about this, because Dennis Kucinich has talked about, the Democratic congressman from Ohio, about defunding anything that goes to Libya as far as money to fund weapons or to drop bombs or anything else. And he's not the only one. So they've got a hearing scheduled for next week, the Senate Armed Services Committee. And you can bet that it'll probably focus on Libya. I guarantee it will focus on that. And then, eventually, getting down to the bottom of the list, what's going to be left in the pot for the Pentagon? What they're going to have left, is their budget was already chopped off. And now you have all of these bombs that were being dropped that cost $1 million for each one. The Tomahawks I'm talking about. Mm. You can always count on Nancy Pelosi, though. She's like the loyal... She's like the loyal dog. She's right there at the side constantly of Barack Obama. And she released a statement. She gave her full support to the president's actions and says that actions taken by the international community have prevented Gaddafi from implementing the show no mercy threat to his people. And that and she said, this is what Pelosi said, the participation strengthened the president's continued consultation with Congress. What a load that is. The continued consultation with Congress. Briefing of a few key people. That's really what happened, Nance. Somehow she lost that. All right, coming up on the flip side, we're going to lighten the load a bit. I think you're going to enjoy this. It was Women's History Month, or is Women's History Month, marches. So Liz Lawless joins us to talk about a couple of Western legends. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Well, in honor of Women's History Month, boy, do we have a special guest that we're going to usher in from our virtual green room. If she would just put down that latte. And we're very excited to have her with us. Her name is Liz Lawless. She's written a book called Western Legends, Yesterday and Today. And she's written specifically about African Americans. And boy, I'll tell you what, there's some African American women in the course of history who were unbelievable. I'm going to call them trend setters. I'm going to say that back in the day, they more than shattered the glass ceiling and probably then some, too. They had amazing integrity and courage and just really blazed a trail for not just African-American women, but other women as well. Liz, thanks for joining us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Kate. It's so great to be here.
Let me ask you this question, because we wanted to talk to about a couple of the women. And first of all, you're a white woman, so I'm sure you get asked this a lot. What's a white woman doing becoming an expert on African-American history? Although I applaud you, and I think that's fantastic.
Well, it is, and I get that question a lot, especially when I talk during Black History Month or to groups of African-Americans. But, you know, we all have a mixed culture, and just because we're of a different culture doesn't mean we can't learn about somebody else's culture. So I was working with the African-American Museum, which is located in Dallas, Texas, and they were a client for about 18 years. And so I just learned all this history over the years. And it really, when I started working with the Cowboys of Color and the Black Rodeo, that's when we began to hear some of these black stories, these great stories about women and the military and cowgirls. And it just went from there.
Yeah, no kidding. I want to jump to some of these amazing women that you told me about, which made me anxious to have you on the show. Joanna July. Tell us who Joanna July is. First of all, you got to love that name. But she apparently was some kind of a horse trainer back in the day. What did she do that was so interesting?
Well, she was a part of her family was Black Seminoles, and so the Army was desperate for translators and scouts down in Texas and down across the border. And so she went with her dad. Her dad was the one that actually first broke horses and trained horses for the military. Once he passed away, she kind of took over that job. And so she had learned during the Civil War, even though she was a young girl or a teenager, then the military still needed horses for the American Indian Wars, which was like people were moving west. So she would ride them into the water. You know, she'd ride bareback. She'd get on these horses that hadn't been broke, and then she'd ride them into the river, and she'd just keep them in the river until they got so tired that they gave up, basically. And so that's how she broke horses, and she continued to do that throughout, and that was the way she made her living, which is very unusual for a woman at that time, and especially an African-American woman.
Yeah, no kidding. How many horses and mules actually were killed, you say, during the Civil War? How many?
Well, in the early years, over 1 million horses were killed during the Civil War, and more horses than men were killed at first because, you know, that they were the backbone of the Civil War. They were the ambulances. They were the ammunition groups. You know, horses is what basically was the way they traveled, and so once it looked like the war was going to continue for longer periods of time, both sides thought they were going to win quickly, and that didn't happen. So they began to capture those horses. You know, horses were a big part of the bounty or the booty, if you want to call it that, you know, of the war. So.
Yeah, no kidding. Fascinating stuff. So we move from that to you're going to tell me who is the only documented African-American female, ready for this, folks, to serve in the military before 1948. I can't even believe that a black woman did, but who was it?
It was Kathy Williams, and she basically was a woman that was 5'9", and because of her height, you know, she was taller than a lot of the men, but she was captured as a slave during the Civil War, and so she was around the military life. She knew what that was about. And so when after the Civil War, when they began to have colored soldiers for the first time during peacetime in 1866, her cousins were signing up, and she decided, you know, I don't want to work in the field. I don't want to work in the house. I can walk 20 miles. I can shoot as good as you can. I can ride a horse, a mule, whatever. And so she signed up as Williams Kathy because she could sign her name, and that was one of the requirements. You had to be able to write to join the military. And so she dressed as a man, and then she said her name was Williams Kathy, so when they called her Private Kathy, they still called her by her name, and she'd be able to respond. Isn't that great?
No kidding. We're speaking with Liz Lawless, and she's a historian, really, an amazing fountain of knowledge. Western Legends, Yesterday and Today, is the name of her book, and we're talking about some of the really female pioneers, front runners. I call them glass ceiling breakers. And we're talking about Kathy Williams. Did the men ever discover that she was a woman?
Well, the troops that were in her unit did. But, you know, her cousin and a friend were the only ones at first that knew. But as the men began to find out, they didn't put pressure on her because they were afraid to challenge her. But they did put a little pressure on her cousins. And so, you know, they kind of said, he said, you know, why don't you go ahead and muster out, you know, come up with a disease or something, go to the hospital because they're beginning to talk about it more and we're going to be found out. And so, you know, she had her savings, she had her money from working because obviously she wasn't spending it on wine, women, and song, and neither were the rest of the guys either because they're out in the middle of nowhere, you know. but she did. She, you know, said she had a problem. She went to the hospital and she was there a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, nobody came to see her, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, nobody came to see her. African-American, most of the doctors were white. They weren't that interested in, you know, dealing with African-American soldiers. Mm-hmm. And so finally she said she had chest pains. And so they came and see her, and the doctor checked her out. She opened her blouse, and he went, oh, my God, that's Private Kathy. So a woman, and he went running into the, you know, the colonel at the court there, you know, at the fort, and they said, oh, no, you got to be kidding. He said, no, you got to come and see. You got to count Private, you know, Private Kathy's a woman. He was so, you know, freaked out because she had breast, you know. And so anyway, they said, you know, I'm going to sign your disability. You're going to muster out, but you're going to go hundreds of miles away, and you're not going to tell anybody. And so nobody really knew except, you know, just her unit there. So.
Yeah, no kidding. And you got another great story about a woman who went on cattle drives with men. I can't even imagine. I don't care who the woman was. I can't imagine that any of the guys would accept that. Apparently they did. Tell us about Aunt Riddy.
Well, Henrietta Williams Foster, known as Aunt Riddy, she grew up in the coastal Bend area in the early, you know, she was born in 1822. So kind of the same thing. She was African-American and Indian. And that was in those early days. So they weren't used to seeing a lot of African-Americans, you know, out on the Western Plains. And so she was actually a slave for a ranch in Victoria. She was sold as a slave and transferred there. And that's what happened. For some, whatever reason, they allowed her to go out. And so she worked cattle side saddle and bareback, and she went out to the camps with the different hands, which was fairly unusual for a woman at that time, especially, you know, African-American female. But this was the West, too. That was the edge of the West, you know, and it was the edge of civilization. So you could get away with a few more things there than you could back east, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. When you were researching this book, because, you know, you mentioned it, that you worked with this rodeo, so you got to know the characters and you started to hear the stories. What was the thing that amazed you the most about the people? I'm going to say, just in hearing these few stories, how resilient and strong they were.
Well, they were. And, you know, Kate, they created their own destiny. And that's a great role model even for us today. I mean, we think we've got it hard, but it's really funny when we talk to kids, especially when we're talking with, you know, about Kathy Williams or some of the other Buffalo soldiers, and we say, where did you sleep last night? And they go, what? Where did you sleep? Well, in a bed. Well, you know, this is where I slept. And they throw their tarp out on the ground, you know, and say, lay down there. And kids go, are you? No, I'm not laying down there. You know, it's just a whole different lifestyle. So, you know, they did things during really difficult times. I mean, basically society said you can work in the fields, you can work in the house, and that's it. And these women said, no, I'm not going to live my life that way. And so they really were, you know, courageous and did. And this Henrietta Foster Williams, you know, she bought land. She was an African-American female that bought land for $25. And, you know, she paid it out a quarter a week. And that was just almost unheard of. Women, any kind of, you know, any woman of, or even white women or European women didn't own land. And she was African-American. So pretty amazing.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm glad that you've shared these stories with us, no doubt. If people want to get a copy of Western Legends, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to Amazon.com, but for you, Kate Delaney, your special audience, we can do a special deal for them if they want to go to the website at www.lizlawless.com. That's lizlawless.com/ westernlegends.php, and they'll get a 40% discount.
All right, so you can do it that way or do it through Amazon.com. Liz, thanks for sharing the stories. Perfect way to end this month, Women's History Month, with some real pioneers. We appreciate it, Liz.